He had once heard of a smart mutie that led an army against the norms of some vill, but that was only a campfire story. Something to frighten sluts and babes. Smart muties. Never happen. This was just a bunch of starving animals. Nothing more.
We got to use the kite!
Colette fumbled for a fresh clip and found none. Hastily, she began to load one of the empties on the floor from the pile of loose ammo.
Can't! I just tested it a while ago. I'm unable to focus it again for hours.
We'll never last that long!
We can. Inside the blockhouse. The walls are thicker. The door, solid iron.
Sounds good, my lord. But how do we get there alive? Across 100 yards of open ground?
The burned bodies of muties who had tried to climb the electric fence that surrounded the armory were a smoking pile on the ground. But there was also a hole in the barrier, and a giant cougar prowled along the brick buildings, searching for any opening. Sheffield slung the long blaster and drew his hand cannon.
We cut a deal with the muties. Get the kitchen staff.
Colette blanched.
You're going to arm the slaves?
Get them! Now!
A sergeant grabbed a couple of privates and rushed into the back rooms of the armory. Moments later, the Blues herded a collection of slaves wearing aprons into the throne room, mostly white hairs and a few children learning the tricks of cooking for 100 men at a meal.
Cripple them.
The Baron began to shoot the slaves in the knee. The men and women fell helpless to the floor, screaming in pain, their legs destroyed forever. He dragged the weeping cook to the front door and threw the bolt.
Muties like their meat alive. Okay, let's give them a meal.
Shoving the wounded outside, the Sekhmen bolted the door closed again. The crying slaves stood in the darkness, looking around in wide-eyed fear. Then the cougar approached, and the humans hobbled away in a panic, trampling one another in a frantic bid for life. The giant cat fell on the white hairs, ripping them apart, blood going everywhere. While the beast was busy eating, Sheffield led the rush out of the armory, the Blues carrying every box of ammo they could. Darting through the hole in the electric fence, the Blues shot their way across the compound, using the Grens to blow a thunderous path through the carnage until they reached the base of the towering dish. Sheffield unlocked the door, and the Blues piled into the concrete bunker. Heading for a control panel, the Baron flipped some switches and grabbed a microphone.
This is Baron Sheffield.
His words boomed outside over the PA system.
Wound the slaves and cut them loose. Let the muties eat them. And get to the blockhouse now. We lock the door in 5 minutes.
Soon, squads of blue shirts began to arrive at the blockhouse, hideous screams cutting the night as the crippled slaves were caught by the hungry muties. An old slave wearing a dirty blue shirt tried to sneak inside the bunker, but Colette caught him at the door and stabbed the white hair in the belly, then kicked him away from the structure. Clutching his wounded stomach, the slave hobbled away into the savage night. The Baron glanced at a Walcron.
Time! Lock it!
The 4 heavy bolts were thrown, and a crossbar dropped into place across the iron door. The noise level from outside lowered immediately. Taking a chair at the control panel, Sheffield sighed in relief, glad that he had decided to reinforce the bunker after the revolt. The man only wished he had done more. Maybe lined the outside walls with claymores or something. But who could have foreseen a mass attack by starving muties?
Gonna need more slaves after this. How many men made it here?
The corporal looked over the assemblage of troops. The bunker was large, but the crowd seemed nowhere near large enough.
I counted 50 coming in. We lost half our guys.
Better than losing all.
When the muties are finished, they'll try to get inside to us. Try real hard. We just have to hope the door is strong enough to last until the kite comes back online.
How much longer, sir?
Sheffield looked at the Walcron.
Another hour.
Suddenly, something large slammed into the locked door, rattling the hinges and bolts. Leveling their weapons, the Blues retreated from the portal and braced themselves for a pitched battle inside the confines of the bunker. A red dawn dispatched the night above North Carolina, and the Sekhmen of Beta Team shuffled from the doorway of the overturned dish, yawning and fixing their clothing.
Now that's why I became a Sekhmen. Damn near wore myself to a nub.
All you had in the first place.
Fuck you!
Not with what you got, Stumpy.
Shut up!
Sergeant Campbell pulled up his suspenders. The night had been long and one of the best in memory. Farmer women lasted a lot longer than slave girls.
Any coffee?
His shout startled a flock of birds covering the corpses of the men.
Didn't think we'd eat here.
The sergeant was forced to agree. The stink of the rotting bodies was strong. The birds and bugs eating the flesh hadn't helped reduce the reek, only made it stronger.
Okay, saddle up and let's ride.
As the sleepy men stumbled into the rear of the APC, Campbell brushed back his wild crop of hair and walked over to the bearskin on the side of the wag. He ran a hand over the hide.
Curing nicely. I watch you men pissing on it more. Gonna need a good coat come winter.
A sec man slammed shut the left door as the driver started the big diesels.
What about Colette?
Campbell climbed inside and took a wall seat.
Ah, screw her. Gonna keep it for me. Head north, Sam. And where's the bastard coffee?
The driver shifted into gear, and the LAV-25 rolled out of the hamlet, leaving behind the dead and a rich harvest of spent brass scattered across the bloody ground. The LAV rolled through the fields and into the woods beyond, while a private passed out the MRE packs, and another warmed water over a small fire inside a tin bucket, the smoke wafting along the roof and out a series of air vents. Designed for SIG smoke, the vents worked just fine for the tiny cook fire.
How much farther?
Sarge?
How much farther to the next dish, asshole?
Quickly, the driver checked a map taped to the armored wall.
About 60 miles. Say, 2 hours. With good ground, maybe less.
Good. Hey, you! That water hot yet? And give me a cup.
Breakfast was brief, and Campbell was dry-shaving with a bowie knife when the vehicle passed the ruins of a fishing hamlet beside a raging river of whitewater. The destruction of the flimsy structures was absolute, way beyond anything needed to merely gain entrance. Worse, there were no bodies.
What could have done that? River muties?
Don't know. Better bolt the hatch.
The sergeant unsnapped the flap that covered his hand cannon. Just then, something erupted from the river in a geyser of foamy water. Wings flapping, the creature streaked over the smashed kindling and slammed onto the side of the wag. Claws raked the metal, trying to reach the men inside. A black muzzle was shoved into an air vent, and a forked tongue jabbed a good 3 feet into the wag. The mutie howled in frustration and crawled over the vehicle, searching for a way into the strange egg. A sec man cut loose with an AK-47 through a blaster port, but the river mutie had already gone under the wag. Suddenly, the belly hatch slammed open, and the thing crawled into the transport. A taloned hand slashed at a sec man, who dived out of the way. Another man slammed the stock of his AK-47 into the thing's snarling face, and a third kicked over the tin bucket, fire and boiling water covering the beast. Keening in pain, the mutie went mad, claws slashing open the seat cushions and a box of ammo, precious rounds rattling across the floor in every direction. Tripping on the loose ammo, the rest of the sec men scrambled for their blasters, while Campbell knelt and discharged the Colt at point-blank range. The blaster's muzzle flame extended to touch the beast who was so close. Incredibly, the first round missed, ricocheting off the belly hatch and out of the wag. Riveting its attention his way, the beast reached out and grabbed Campbell by the boot.
Rat me!
The blue shirt planted his other boot in the mutie's throat to keep from being dragged any closer, and emptied the blaster at the scaly invader. The 45 caliber slugs blew chunks off the creature's head, and still it tried to haul him out of the wag, the grip on his boot tightening to a painful level. Dropping the spent clip, Campbell tried to slap in a fresh mag when the APC hit a bump and the clip went flying. The sergeant threw the blaster at the bleeding mutie and drew his bowie knife. No stinking mutie was getting him alive. Then a sec man jumped onto the belly hatch, slamming the armored slab onto the beast, knocking it sideways. Partially trapped, it released the sergeant and fought for its own freedom, screaming and thrashing like a demon from hell. Now they could see the gaping, lipless mouth in the palm of each clawed hand.
Ready, set, go!
A sec man pulled the hatch out of the way. In unison, the rest of the Blues posed the beast with their Kalashnikovs, the barrage of 7.62mm rounds tearing its body apart, black blood spraying onto the walls. Cut to pieces, the mutie screeched and dropped out of sight. Instantly, the wag bumped a few times as the rear wheels crunched over the riddled body, ending the high-pitched yells of pain permanently.
Bolt that hatch! Bolt every hatch!
Freeze.
A sec man swung his blaster at the sergeant. Before Campbell could react, The man fired a short burst, black blood gushing from the side of his boot. Weapon in hand, Campbell stopped in the act of squeezing the trigger when he realized he wasn't hurt. Bending, he saw there was some sort of